So it is 10 o'clock, so we'll give it a couple of more minutes for people to join us. But just want to let everyone on the line know how to get all the materials for today's meeting. They are on our website at www.afterschoolnetwork.org. On the top, you're going to see some menus. You want to go to the training and event calendar, which will take you to a calendar for today's date, and the Nutrition and PA Committee meeting will be scheduled on today's date. Once you click on that, you'll see our agenda and all of the materials needed for today's discussion. And Arnell, just whenever you want to start, just let me know.
Sure. Thanks, Bruno. I'm just trying to do the links here. Thanks so much for everyone joining. I know it's starting to get to be that hectic time of year, so really appreciate your participation. As usual, you know, we have one of those packed agendas, and people will be, I know, coming in and out. But it would be great just to do a roll call and see who all is here. So I'm Arnell Hinkle with CanFit. And I'm co-chair with Kathy Lewis of the Nutrition and PA Committee.
And this is Kathy Lewis.
Deanna Niebuhr from the Partnership for Children and Youth.
Janice Chin from California After School Resource Center.
Catherine Hawksworth with California Project Lean.
Jabari Wims with the Alliance for Healthier Generation.
Brad Peterson, CACFP.
Daniel Hatcher, also with the Alliance for a Healthier Generation.
Great.
Wendy Goldring, Los Angeles County Office of Education, After School Technical Assistance Unit.
And I think that's everyone, Arnell.
Great. Hey, thanks so much. So in terms of the agenda today, we're going to just do a little bit of a report back about the Amp Up and Step Up conference and some of the results from the conference, and then focus on our old business, which is the Child and Adult Care Food Program Materials presentation from the Alliance for Healthy Generation, and then share some of the various tools and things that have nutrition and PA tools and best practices, and then do our legislative and initiative up. There'll be some time at the near the end for hot topics if there's anything that hasn't been mentioned on the agenda that you want to bring up, and then end with upcoming events and topics for our next meeting. So I wanted to turn it over to Bruno, but Bruno, I don't think we have it on the agenda, but are you going to talk about the new website?
I am. I can,
cool.
Certainly can. Would this be the time now, or do you want me to do that till the end?
Oh, go
great.
For it.
So the California After School Network has been working very hard to launch our new website. This has been 7 months in the making throughout the summer, so we're finally to the point where we can launch it. We feel pretty confident about our new website. And what we wanted in terms of values of why we launched the new website is we wanted to make it more interactive and easier of the information for participants to be able to find the information that they need very quickly and from different points of entry. So that's our main goal with the website, and you'll be the judge once you log into our website and you see some of the materials that we have to offer. One of the things that I'm very happy about is that we have an entire page dedicated to the CACFP After School Meal Program. And then it has all the resources and links available for other resources that are out there in terms of the new meal program. Having said that, we also have a space available under information and resources just for nutrition and physical activity. So any resources, any research, any funding opportunities, policy, anything like that that involves or that is around nutrition and physical activity, we just wanted to make folks to be able to just find that very quickly and very effectively. So that's what we have done with the website. One of the things that you'll see from my notices now in terms of our meetings is that you'll get emails in a different format. This is just a little bit more interactive. And then the last thing I will say is that we now also have Facebook and Twitter capabilities, and so we are putting out the latest information via those social media ways. So if you have Facebook or Twitter, please join us. It's on the top right-hand side of the website. But please feel free to check out the website anytime. Just let us know what you think. Thank you, Arnell.
Hey, thank you, Bruno. It's really fun. I've been playing around with it this morning and seeing how to link to everything. So it is kind of intuitive, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
The network just had a pretty successful conference down in San Diego last month, I think it was, or yeah,
yes.
Whatever. So you want to talk a little bit about that, Bruno, and
sure.
The survey?
Yeah, so the California After School Network hosted, every year we host the Step Up High School After School Conference, and this year we decided, with the partnership of Region 9, our TAC unit decided to co-host the AMP Up Middle School After School Conference during the same week in November to make it easier for folks to be able to travel and just have it all in one place. Having said, you know, that it served well for some that were coming from across the country, but as we know, it's always difficult to leave your programs for 5 days in a row, so that we're going to have to think about that and when we design and we plan any future events. But it was very successful. We had around 400 participants throughout the week for both Step Up and AMP Up. What I really liked about the Step Up and AMP Up conferences every year is always about the content and about the presentations, all those great workshops from all of you who submit RFAs to present in workshops. And that really is what makes the conference so successful each and every year. And that's what we saw from the evaluations. People like the content and people like opportunities to be able to network with each other. So from our evaluations, we were able to see that very clearly. We had 108 distinct workshops throughout the week, both specifically for after-school high school and after-school middle school programs. And so it is a niche market, and so that part was very successful. Throughout the conference, we had an AmeriCorps Vista who is serving here at the After School Network do a survey about the CACFP After School Meal Program just to get a sense of what folks out there in the field know about the new program, the new meal program, or maybe if they have some questions or they needed to know more information about the meal program, and more importantly, if they would like to be contacted to learn more about the program or how to sign up. What we found from the survey is that around 60% of the people that filled out a survey were program directors. And I was really thinking that we were going to see a lot of site coordinators that currently serve SNAC, but that was not the case. We had a lot of program directors and decision makers there that wanted to learn more about the meal program. The interesting result that we got was that a lot of them know that they're serving SNAC already, but aren't too clear on where they get the reimbursement from or how much reimbursement they actually get for their current SNAC programs. And so that was kind of a shocker to me. When they heard the reimbursement rate for the after-school meal program, it really turned some heads, and then they wanted to know more from that. And that's mostly because a lot of them serve their snacks already from, the school's food services departments. Around 87% of them receive their snacks from their school districts. And so, you know, that is to be expected. So with the new meal program, we got a lot of responses that for folks that wanted to be contacted throughout the state about the new meal program, and a lot of them showed a lot of interest on the webinars that we hosted on June 7th, and as well as the new webinar that we are hosting on December 13th. So I am hoping that everybody here on this line can join us for the December 13th webinar on the meal program. Does anybody have any questions on the survey or the conference or anything like that?
I was also looking at the survey. I just got it, Bruno. I was also it was interesting of the number of people who hadn't heard about the the MEALSA program.
Right.
New
yeah.
to the program.
Yeah, so almost 60% of the respondents, had not heard of the MEAL program, and I think that's why, you know, these webinars and this page on our website are so helpful to folks, that this has been a year in the making now, and people are still just learning about this new opportunity.
And I think it's a good segue for the report from Kathy in Indiana about what's happening with outreach and the new two-pager. And
yeah, and Arnell, and this kind of is a great segue, because did you create a mailing list for the people, Bruno, that attended Amp Up and Step Up so that they'll get a notification about the webinar?
So, yes, so we do have a separate mailing list for those folks to know about the webinar, but our VISTA member here at the network has been contacting those folks and letting them know as well.
Great. Okay. So I'm going to turn it over to Deanna to do the update, and then I'll talk about the new two-pager and our webinar. Deanna.
Okay. So I'll do a quick update on, just to give you an overview of the kind of outreach that we've been doing. So this is kind of a joint work between, Kathy's been helping us out as a member of this committee, and Bruno and the YMCA Silicon Valley, and ourselves, the Partnership for Children and Youth, all trying to do direct outreach on the ground as well as develop some outreach material. So I believe you all have seen we did one two-pager that was really directed at after-school staff and was doing a little bit of advocacy around reaching out to your food services director to provide the meals. And then I believe you also had input on a more generic two-pager that's more like a brochure with just basic information about the program. So I think, Kathy, is that right? Has this group seen both of those, or is that part of
on today's agenda right after we talk?
Oh, okay. All right. So I won't talk more about that, but I will say, so we're in to start off doing direct outreach on the ground. Kathy and I reached out to all 11 of the regional leads to offer, first to say we want to partner with people so that we're doing coordinated work around outreach. And then, you know, if anybody wants it, we've been getting on people's phone calls. I'm going to Region 3's meeting on Friday. We'll just go anywhere or talk on any call to talk about the meal program, because we are finding that people don't know about it, or there's some confusion that makes people think that it's not an option for them. So, please pick us up on the offer to get on calls where we can just get the word out or come to meetings or anything like that. And I will say that what we're finding on the ground and also what we're promoting is, you know, whichever way you get SNAP, to first consider going to your school food services director to ask them to provide the meal, to try to make this as easy as possible to get the meal program up and going. The school districts have that infrastructure in place, you know, to provide meals and do all the paperwork and all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of the basic thing that we're promoting and when we're outreaching to after-school type folks. We are also finding that there's a lot of questions on the food service side, and one of the things that we are finding is that kind of on our first pass, we're finding that school districts that are running their own after-school programs pretty much have been piloting the after-school meal program and are doing that successfully and planning to expand. That's somewhat less true of smaller school districts. So some smaller school districts we're finding that they're going to need some help in understanding how to make the cost-benefit model work when they aren't increasing the volume of meals a great deal just because they're a small district. And then our biggest hurdle has been food service directors being willing to let after-school staff, you know, to get some cost savings, to let after-school staff both pass out the meals and take the meal count. And that's especially true when you have a district food service director working with a CBO after school provider. And those are kind of gross generalizations, but those are the biggest hurdles that we're finding in addition to people just not knowing about the program. So I think that's like my basic update. And Bruno talked about the two webinars. One is next week. And then on their new website, there is a dedicated page with the outreach materials, a way of reviewing, replaying the webinar. And we're going to set up a dedicated email line so that people can ask questions and we can get information out there as quickly as possible and answer questions. So that's pretty much my overview. I'm happy to take questions, but we can also move on to...
Does anybody have any questions for Deanna?
Kathy and Deanna, I also wanted to add that on that page we currently have frequently asked questions from the webinar, and those are posted already, and we're continuing to add as they come.
Great.
So, this is Arnella. Just so wondering, Deanna, is there like a ballpark estimate of what size it is that makes it harder for school districts?
Well, where they're having the toughest time is the really small districts that are also rural, so their schools are far apart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then you have all that moving food around questions too. So, but sort of a next step that I've been talking with the Food Research and Action Center about is, and they're going to put some resources into developing basically a document that explains the business model and gives some California-specific examples. We'll work with them on this.
Great.
So that directly for food service directors to understand how to make this work given their situation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Attached, does anybody else have any questions for Deanna? Okay, if you look... on one of the links is to our new draft document that is the general information brochure that Deanna mentioned. And what we wanted to do is we had talked to Nutrition Services Division, and they have a CACFP, Child and Adult Care Food Program brochure, but it's really about meals, breakfast, and it's really child care oriented. And we wanted one that was general information that could be used by after school. It would be information for really anybody, more of a generic document. So Deborah Tamanai and I used the FRAC, that's the Food Research and Action Center national document, as a start point, and then modified that. And it's titled Moving from After School Snack to a Meal, It's Easier Than You Think. And then we sent it out for comments, got comments to people that had signed up at our last, I guess it was two times ago, conference call of our committee, and got comments back from Cindy Schneider. And so what you see is really a final draft. And we're just really open to any comments that anybody has on what's clear, not clear, things that should be incorporated, remembering we're trying to keep this to... two pages front and back. So does anybody have any comments or corrections or additions or anything?
Just taking some time to look it over as we talk. But...
Kathy, this is Bruno. I had a question in regard to the, on the bottom of page one, that $2.99 reimbursement.
Uh-huh.
Is that a new price point that has just been implemented, or has that always been the case?
It's a July 1 cost of living that brought it to $2.99.
Perfect. Thank you.
And so this $2.99, does that include the administrative fee, or that's?
It's the inclusive cost for doing the supper.
Yeah, okay.
And then, we'll update it every year.
Yeah. I like that you have examples on it. Nice. I like the fact that you have examples on it. That's nice. Makes it
good.
Easier to understand.
And then you'll notice that we take people back to the new after-school meal program page.
Mm-hmm.
We really want to make that our central point where people go for if they have questions. And then there's model menus and at FRAC, Food Research and Action Center's website.
This is great. The committee's done a great job on this. I mean, it's like...
Okay, well, then I'm going to consider it final, and we'll go from there. Okay,
and then,
I'm sorry, Arnell?
No, I was just going to ask him, where you're going from there?
where it's going from there, and Bruno, correct me, is it posted, is it already posted on the website?
It is currently posted on the after-school meal program web page, yes.
Okay, and then members of the committee can take it with them places. I think that I'm going to be running some copies as of this morning to take down to the Healthy Behaviors Conference.
Mm-hmm.
And distribute there. And I just think it's something that all of our committee members can use, as well as the network, to get out the word. So feel free to share this.
That's great. And then we'll you put the – right now it says draft 11/30.
I'll take that off.
Okay, great. Well, just I think it's good to keep a date on it, but just
say
draft part, yeah.
Right. No. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'll just let people know, too, this is Deanna again, that we had a vendor ask us for help with basic information, because as they were going out to school districts, people didn't know about the meal program. And they went to the CSBA conference, and we gave them 75 copies of this two-pager, and they gave them all away.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the only thing that I would like to add about the webinar is that please share with people that you know about the upcoming webinar and encourage them to participate. We're going to have three different entities that are doing the after-school meal program, the YMCA of Silicon Valley, Oakland Unified, as well as San Diego Unified, Crystal Fitzsimons from FRAC, Food Research and Action Center, will be participating, and then, of course, Lori Pennings from Nutrition Services Division will be doing the presentation. So it expands from our original webinar, still keeps the basic facts for people, because we want this webinar to replace the one from June that's on the website. So this will be the standing one, so people don't have to go to, okay, which webinar do I go to?
Right.
So anybody have any comments about the webinar?
Will the webinar be recorded?
The webinar is being recorded. If you would like to participate live, you do have to pre-register to participate on December 13th. But after December 13th, it will be available from that same page, After School Meal Program web page within our website.
Great.
And so will you be doing, like you did last time, kind of like the Q&A, and so there'll be an updated, frequently asked questions once the webinar is over?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Okay,
looking forward to something for next week, for next Tuesday, too. any other questions or comments about the Child and Adult Care Food Program?
I had a comment, really. We've been getting a lot of people contacting us here at the network asking for a list of potential vendors who can give information on participating in the meal program. So they're ready to sign up to serve the meal program. Now they just want to know if they wanted to serve themselves through a vendor, who these vendors are that are available in California, and then from where those programs are at. Is there anything currently available that can give me that information?
I mean, CDE keeps track of vendors, but I don't know what state that list is in, if it's like really for public or more for CDE's, you know, use?
I think part of the question is, as that we don't want to endorse vendors, but on the other hand, we really do want people to know about vendors. I was at the meeting, Arnell, that you were and Bruno were at, the Summer Food Coalition meeting, mm-hmm. and there's a group called Preferred Meal Systems that's available in Southern California and Northern California to be a vendor for meals.
Mm-hmm.
They typically do school day meals, and they typically deliver them weekly. But they are looking for at least 100 meals a day as their price point if they're only providing the entree. So, and I have contact information from them, and I'm happy to give it to Bruno or Deanna.
Great. Thank you, Kathy.
And then Revolution Foods is another one that I know the YMCA of Silicon Valley.
Right. It was Melissa Garza at CDE who used to have the vendor list. I don't know, like I said, if she still does or Bruno, so that might be someone to check in with too.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. We can check that out or no.
So are we ready to hear from Jabari and Daniel about the Alliance for a Healthier Generation?
Sure.
Great. Thank you, guys.
So, good morning, everyone. I hope I'm coming through loud and clear. I'm on a new telephone, so in the next few minutes, if you have trouble hearing me, just speak up and let me know. So my name is Daniel Hatcher. I'm with the Alliance for a Healthier Generation. I'm actually calling in from Washington, D.C. this morning. We are really thrilled to get to speak with you all today, and really thank you for the invitation as well as your time. Because it sounds like you all have so many things going on, so thanks for carving out this time. We consider all of you our friends and allies, so really excited to hear from you, your thoughts on a new project that we're currently working on, which you may already have heard about. So I know many of you are familiar with the Alliance. But just in case you're not, I thought I'd give you a quick snapshot of our work. The Alliance was founded in 2005 by the American Heart Association and the Clinton Foundation with the goal of reducing the nationwide prevalence of childhood obesity by 2015. To accomplish that goal, we work to affect the places that can make a difference to a child's health. And obviously, because there's no single cause, there's no single solution, we're trying to approach the problem from several different directions, just like all of you on the phone. So homes, schools, doctor's offices, communities, and organizations out in the community. So to date, the Alliance has supported over 13,000 schools to improve access to healthy food options. And increase physical activity before, during, and after school. We've brokered voluntary agreements with the beverage, snack, and healthcare industries to offer healthy options to young people and their families. We've worked to activate more than 2.5 million teens and tweens to commit to eat better, move more, and serve as leaders to their peers. But most recently, we're working in a 5-pilot community project to create healthier environments and out-of-school time settings, which I know is the vision of this group. So I feel in good company. So this is the aspect of the Alliance's work that I'm focused on and that I wanted to quickly tell you about today. So I know we would all agree that out-of-school time settings play a crucial role in encouraging young people to live healthier lives. But the Alliance really believes that the millions of young people who participate in after-school programs really play key roles in developing solutions to the obesity problem. We know they offer valuable insights and perspectives, and we feel that within a positive youth development model, they can become effective community leaders for healthy change. And I know from seeing so many things on your different websites that you're in agreement and alignment with that. So for the 2011-2012 school year, the Alliance secured funding and placed staff members in 5 locations across the country to work with out-of-school time program sites to implement a newly created healthy out-of-school time framework. And the pilot sites are pretty exciting. We have one in Huntington Park, California, so right outside of L.A., a site in New Orleans, a site in the Sacramento area, suburban Cook County, right outside of Chicago, and Washington, D.C. We're even more excited because the California After School Network and the Huntington Park Recreation Department are 2 of our host sites. So they actually house the local fellows who serve as youth mobilization fellows in those areas. So the outstanding individual in Huntington Park is Maya Oubre. So you may run into Maya as you work throughout the state. And then, of course, Jabari Wims, who's on the phone with us today. They are absolutely outstanding individuals because they have great experience working with local out-of-school time programs and community-based organizations. But more importantly, they really get the importance of bringing young people to the table on this issue. And coupled with the host site coaches, they're very powerful instruments to really work and share resources with local sites that will be moving through the Healthy Out-of-School Time Framework. So a little bit more about the actual Healthy Out-of-School Time Framework. It outlines best practice criteria and a 6-step process to help out-of-school time settings become healthier places. So the framework includes 3 categories: 1, healthy eating; 2, physical activity; and 3, positive youth development. Now, the framework really is nothing too new. It's based on the National After School Association standards for healthy eating and physical activity. It was developed by the Healthy Out-of-School Time Coalition. The Alliance participated on that coalition. I know many of you also participated on that coalition. So the healthy eating and physical activity categories, again, are verbatim the NAA standards. After an extensive source review, the Alliance added a 3rd category of positive youth development that emphasizes the importance of youth engagement, youth voice, youth-adult partnerships, to positively affect health outcomes in school-age youth. So the work of groups like the Forum for Youth Investment, the ACT Center for Youth Excellence in New York, the New York State Department of Health, other great researchers like Stephen Hamilton and Richard Krupp inform the best practice criteria and the associated methods for achieving the youth development criteria. So you may be familiar with the Alliance Healthy Schools Program because that is one of our largest initiatives, again, 13,000 schools. The healthy eating and physical activity categories are aligned with our Healthy Schools Program criteria. Our Healthy Schools Program began back in 2005-2006, again, 13,000 schools. So we've gathered so much evidence from the Healthy Schools Program, and so many of those elements from the Healthy Schools Program really helped in the development of the Healthy Out-of-School Time Framework. So we have so many successes, lessons learned that we leveraged to build the Healthy Out-of-School Time Framework. We didn't do this alone. Obviously, the 25 specific criteria in the framework have been reviewed by experts in the field of health promotion and youth development, including the American Heart Association and national youth-focused organizations, including the host coalition founding organizations, The Partnership for Youth Development in New Orleans, the Out of School Time Resource Center at the University of Pennsylvania, Go Kids Boston at the University of Massachusetts Boston. We also had our Youth Advisory Board members provide feedback on the best practice criteria and the methods, because we wanted young people to help us in this development as we thought through the criteria that Out of School Time sites and programs would work towards. So a little bit about how the implementation is working. Our five fellows, including Maya and Jabari, will assist local out-of-school time sites in following a six-step process. And so they'll help out-of-school time settings become healthier environments for young people, building on their successes that the sites have already achieved. So the six-step process, from assessment to action planning and ending in celebrating success, is based on theories of continuous improvement. And that's very important to us because that's what the Healthy Schools Program was founded on. So I hope you can see that the overall vision of the Alliance here is to create sustained policy and environmental change in schools and communities where physical activity and healthy eating can become the norm. To that end, the Alliance really utilizes a technical assistance model with the intent of building the capacity of local out-of-school time providers to maintain the use of the continuous improvement process, working with the fellows, being supported by the fellows to develop healthier environments over time. So as our five amazing fellows work locally, they will be supported by the tremendous knowledge and expertise of Alliance staff, our content experts, and of course our many collaborators. And that brings me to my big ask for everyone on the line is we're in the process of connecting with organizations that are working in this space that have resources, that have toolkits, that know of webinars like we just talked about, that we could share with the fellows, that they can share with the sites that they'll be working with locally, so that capacity is built in those local communities. You're already doing wonderful work. We want to amplify that and share that even further. We've been encouraged by so many organizations like yours, everyone on the line, to help connect this work with national standards, and to play a role in assisting out-of-school time settings to implement the best practice criteria. So in the coming weeks, we're really focused on the resource brokering phase and aligning resources with the best practice criteria. Starting the new year, the fellows will be working to help local sites move through the action planning process. And we're excited to share resources with them when they select certain components of the best practice criteria that they want to focus on. So again, my big ask is contact me if you want to learn more, if you have resources or know of webinars and toolkits, maybe it's a local training in one of those communities that we need to know about. We would love to hear from you. I'm sure Bruno would agree to share my contact information with you all. But again, we're very excited to be launching this pilot implementation, to have these fantastic fellows working locally, and to get to support them and collect some success stories and best practice on really what it takes to create this change within the out-of-school time environment. So I'll stop there. And maybe there are some initial questions.
Well, Daniel, this is Bruno. I was wondering if you could tell us if there are any resources available in terms of your website that the after-school programs or out-of-school time programs can access now that would be available, say, for free, or how they can access or connect with the fellows currently working in California?
Mm-hmm. That's a fantastic question. So our website is healthiergeneration.org. I think it's on the agenda.
We have lots of resources posted up on our website for all of our different initiatives. We hold regular webinars that are open to the public, and would love for anyone that you know of to tap into those resources. So that's what we currently have. But we'll be building that as we progress. We'll be launching a new webinar schedule in the next, probably in the next few weeks, maybe in the next month or so, for webinars tied to the best practice criteria, really focused on these five communities, but also making the technical assistance that we'll be providing through webinar available to the general public. So I would say check out what we have right now, especially school-related resources at healthiergeneration.org. And then in the coming weeks, really stay tuned for some additional resources and more than likely collaborative resources and webinars that we'll be holding with collaborators related to the best practice criteria.
Great. Daniel, thank you so much for your presentation. I really appreciate your time. Thank you. So next up, we have Janice and Arnell.
Hello, everyone. I don't think I've had an opportunity to meet everyone yet, but my name is Janice, and I am a fairly new addition to the California After School Resource Center, and I am the After School Health Program Manager. And we wanted to share a couple of materials that we have recently added to our site. One of the things is, I'm sure as many of you know, the USDA released the new MyPlate icon tool in June of 2011, replacing the MyPyramid tool. So in the course of that, there's been quite many questions that have come up as to what are the differences between the two icons, if there are any changes, and basically asking for guidance in that regard. So what CASRC has done with the support of the CDE Nutrition Services Division is that we had developed a 6-page handout called Moving from My Pyramid to My Plate. And this is posted on our website. I think it's on the, listed on the agenda. And this kind of goes over just the various changes that the switch to the new icon has. And it may help clarify some initial questions or confusions that may occur. It's just a simpler icon. There's, just to kind of give you a quick overview, not too much has changed in the concepts of it, just maybe some possible names. The fruit groups haven't changed, but maybe the name from milk to dairy or meat and beans to protein and things of that nature are explained through this handout. Some of the other things that are kind of have an overview is they have some consumer educational materials attached. They also have some tips for adapting lessons to include MyPlate, so it makes it a little bit easier for educators or after-school staff to take the lesson plans that they have or activities that they have planned and adapt it to the MyPlate. And then we also have a list of resources for MyPlate and nutrition and physical activity guidance included in the handout. And then one of the last page on the handout also has something that programs can use with their kids or students. It's like a coloring page. It's both in English and Spanish, and it gives a visual and an activity for the kids so that they can actually learn about the MyPlate icon as they're coloring it in, and it gives them a fun way of introducing this icon to them. Is there any questions about that so far?
Janice, this is Kathy Lewis. I just want to say that some of our Healthy Behaviors Learning Centers found this to be really useful because there was a confusion about, heck, what's MyPlate versus MyPyramid?
Right. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I mean, it is a much more simplified icon, and so there's definitely questions that are going to be raised because of the differences between the pyramid and the plate. So I'm glad to hear that, Kathy. Okay, so as a segue to one of our new online trainings, as everyone's shifting from My Pyramid to My Plate, folks might wonder how can they incorporate some of the activities into their programs to incorporate the My Plate icon and the ideas that are put forth through that. One of our newest online trainings is called Cook with Kids, and this particular module teaches how cooking with kids benefit their health and school performance. It goes over four really simple steps on how to plan, prepare, and present a successful cooking activity. It talks about how to access cooking event planners, key tips and resources, and you know, one of the pluses is that this module is Network for Healthy California allowable. So one of the things that you'll see as you go through this module is that it has it reviews cooking styles so that it can help fit every environment, or at least help fit the environments that our staff would be working in. Also, it makes allowances for various skill levels depending upon what grade levels you're working with or what age levels. It talks about how to plan and implement a cooking activity, how to provide a safe cooking environment, such as talking about hand washing, proper storage of foods, prevention of cross-contamination, knife safety, and so forth. It also includes resources on recipe samplers, on some of the materials that can be used, and other resources that can be found through the centers to further enhance a cooking activity. So that's kind of one of the new things. I really encourage everyone to go check it out and encourage after-school staff to take the online training so that they can think of some new ideas on what to incorporate into the classroom or into their after-school program. So those are the two new items that we wanted to share with everyone. Are there any questions that, or any other information that you were interested in that I can probably help you with?
Oh, Dan, so those are great. It's great to know that you've updated things. And so this information is accessible through the website, and I guess it'll be on our website as well, the After School Network website. Is that correct, Bruno?
That's correct, Arnell.
Great, great.
Yes, both of these things are available through the CASRAC website as well as the Healthy Kids Resource Center website.
Excellent. That's great. Any questions for Janice? No? Great. I just wanted to share a resource that CANFIT put out a few weeks ago, which is called our Activate toolkit, and it's a 8-step guide to improve physical activity in community settings. It can be accessed through the CANFIT website, and I think there's a link to it in the agenda as well. But the idea with it is just to have we're realizing that a lot of times the people doing physical activity in sites needed some just ideas for how to engage youth more in thinking about activity and also about, especially for older youth, are looking at the community as a whole and not just at the after-school out program. So this is kind of a step-by-step guide that has a background on why physical activity is important and how you can increase the physical activity knowledge of both staff and youth and community members and kind of tips and tools for how to increase activity at your site and program. And there are lessons in it and references to different kinds of physical activities and lesson plans. So take a look. If you have any questions or anything, give us a call or shoot us an email, but just wanted you to know that it's out there now. Any questions? Or So we, any other tools or resources that people want to share or best practices that you've come across lately? No? So I'm wondering, we have our next item on the agenda, our legislative updates and initiatives. And do we have Steve Fowler on the line or Normandy Patrice?
Yeah, this is Steve. I joined about 10 minutes ago.
Great, great. We decided to do this kind of ad hoc, so whoever's on, jump in. But, this is just an opportunity for folks to share what they've been hearing or what's happening at the federal and state level and what's the different initiatives that are going on. So, Steve, please.
Okay.
What's happening?
This is kind of it's like the old Saturday serial at the movie house. Stay tuned, you know, cliffhanger, and then it moves on, and the next week you come back, and there's a new adventure. So the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, we've kind of talked about on each call. In each call, it was like on a precipice. Maybe something would happen, maybe not. And the big concern in the after-school field is the interest in some in taking the 21st Century Community Learning Center program that's over $1 billion nationally and a significant source of after-school money for California, and opening that up to a broader range of activities under the term of expanded learning or extended learning, which there's a fear that it moves away from kind of the current model of after-school into perhaps being just money to pay for extra instructional time. And so that threat is still out there, and at the last call I think we talked about that language was proposed in the Senate draft of the reauthorization of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act that moved towards this expanded learning. Now, advocates were able to temper that somewhat, but there's still kind of a threat out there. So there is a bill on the Senate side that's been approved in the committee. There has not been any action on the ESEA in the House. Senate, as you know, is controlled by Democrats, House by Republicans, and there's a good deal of disagreement philosophically between the House and the Senate. So right now, the projection, but obviously stay tuned for the next episode, the projection is that nothing will happen on ESEA this year because there's so many other issues in front of Congress. And that since next year is an election year, the odds of it moving forward are limited. Not impossible, but limited. However, the threat to after school and the 21st Century Community Learning Center program remains. And I think for California Voices, the best thing to do is keep writing or calling Senator Barbara Boxer's office. Thank her for being a champion of after school, because she really defends after school as it's kind of implemented in California, and is a strong voice. She's not on the key committee, but could be a strong voice if this ever comes up debate on the floor. So that's kind of where we are. ESEA, potential threat to the model of after school we like, perhaps more instructional time, less time for physical activity, nutrition education, and so on. Write or call Senator Box's office and thank her for being such a champion of comprehensive after school. The other federal issue that people probably on the call know more about than I do, but is the Congress blocked the implementation of the new rules on school lunch, which were efforts to try and create a different menu that's healthier and more balanced, and essentially agribusiness interests, my summary would be agribusiness interests were able to exert pressure on Congress to freeze those rules from going into effect. And like I say, others on the call probably have followed this closer than I have and may have comments or whatever. It just, you know, reminds us that our agenda, our hope of healthier eating and physical activity and fighting obesity, that there are people who oppose at least pieces of that agenda for their own interests. And so we have to stay engaged in the policy arena if we're going to succeed. So that's the federal report. If others have questions or comments on either of those.
questions or comments. Catherine Hawksworth, I'm wondering if Project Lean is doing anything around the blockage of the IOMA standards. Or...
No, not at this time.
Okay. I know it's going to be on the discussion topic for the strategic alliance on Thursday. So, perhaps we'll be able to share something on our next call. Any other federal or updates or comments? And anyone here from the state who can tell us what's happening with the state, the after-school out of program office, or anyone know anything about what's going on there?
This is Normandy.
Normandy.
Hi, everyone. I haven't been on the call for too long, but I'm here now. So
great.
Thank you. It's pretty quiet at the state level right now with legislature not in session. You know, of course, we're watching Prop 49 closely, and right now it still seems to be okay. The main activity I've been watching, though, with the physical fitness testing mandate and the education and budget subcommittee met last week, and for the third time in, a little over a year, I believe, the fitness gram testing mandate for in-school has been on the chopping block and recommended that it's eliminated, but it truly is the one indication that we have statewide about the fitness level of our kids, and there's been a lot in the press lately about only 31% of California kids are even able to meet their fitness goals right now. So I think the fitness physical fitness testing and keeping that in place is really important for all of us. For those of us that do fitness gram testing in the after school and also focus intentionally on building the skills of the kids that they need to do well in the fitness gram testing, we can do that in a fun physical activity, different styles, different ways to do that without actually doing the fitness testing itself. And it's an important tool, so I'm watching that, and hopefully that will remain in place. And after school can continue to focus on helping kids be more active and meet that fitness criteria that they're tested on to be in a healthy fitness zone. So that's about it from me on the state legislation. And as far as the after-school office, I think we're still on hold, trying to find out who the new director is going to be and what's going on there. The good news is that Tom Torlakson has such a commitment to healthy kids and after-school, and so we're encouraged by that.
Thanks, Normandy. Anyone else in Sacramento have any other Sacramento news? No?
This is Kathy. I just know that at the discussion, I think it was last week, of the regional leads, they talked about the schedule for naming the division director, which was January.
Ah, okay. So moving right along. Great. Great. How about other state initiatives, the Summer Food Outreach Coalition? Any report on that?
I'm here. Hi, everyone. This is Patrice Chamberlain, and I am the coordinator for the Summer Meal Coalition. This is my first time on the call, so I wanted to say thank you to the committee for the opportunity to fill everybody in. And I should first start by saying it is just too cold, I know, to be talking about summer, but here we are. So for those of you who are unfamiliar with the Summer Meal Coalition, we are a statewide collaborative that is trying to increase participation in the USDA summer feeding programs. And some of our members are present on the call, like Arnell and Bruno and Kathy and Deanna. So there's a lot of opportunities for collaboration between the after-school programs and those operating during the summer. Our goal is to both increase participation in these summer feeding programs, including the summer food service program, and the seamless feeding options through National School Lunch Program. And our other goal is also to encourage those summer programs that are already operating summer meal programs to integrate nutrition education. And through our partnership with the Network for a Healthy California, we are trying to link summer meal programs with all of the resources that the network has to offer. So to give you a quick update on how we're reaching out to folks, we have conducted several webinars to kind of demystify the process of becoming a summer meal sponsor or site, as well as showcase examples of what a successful summer meal program looks like. And we also do a monthly electronic newsletter that you can find on our website, which I'll tell you about in a minute. Our newsletter showcases examples of summer meal programs that are really doing this well, and they range from a school district running a summer school program to something like the YMCA to a park and rec site. And really we want to help get the word out there about how you can serve healthy summer meals and do it really well. It's really a great opportunity for those after-school programs that are operating during summer to get reimbursed for serving healthy meals. And so we want to really make it as easy as possible for organizations to do that. We also have a website through the coalition is administered through the California Center for Research on Women and Families. So we have a web page dedicated to the coalition that houses just tons of materials that range from a site guide for staff, for site staff, to outreach templates, to case studies. So to really help people without forcing anybody to recreate the wheel. So I'd encourage everyone who's interested to check out ccrwf.org and take a look at the resources that we offer. One of the things that we actually just did this past weekend was we presented at the California School Boards Association conference. So it was really, really great. We had a really enthusiastic response from school board members that were eager to use their position as elected officials to try to develop more robust summer meal programs in their communities. So some of you may be hearing from your school board members, I hope, asking what they can do to help. And one thing I would love some feedback from the group on is if we're developing our webinars for the early part of 2012, and I would love some feedback from the group as far as what after-school programs that are operating during the summer might be interested in as far as becoming a sponsor, or if you're already operating a summer meal program, what kind of support you might need, because that would help us in developing the content for our webinars. Does anybody have any thoughts on that? Or even any suggestions on how the Summer Meal Coalition can reach out to after-school providers? Okay, well,
I was just going to say, this is Kathy, and the network, which is the California After School Network, can help on reaching out on sharing information about the webinars. I mean, we should absolutely do that and do a link over to your web page on summer food. And I don't know whether it's already linked, Bruno.
It is not currently linked, but I will make sure that happens today.
That'd be great.
Thanks, yeah. Bruno and Kathy.
You know, one thing I was wondering in terms of a timeline for people and after-school programs to even begin to think about summer food. Do you know what I mean? Like in terms of, you know, if you just start in January or something,
mm-hmm.
You know, like a step approach kind of thing of what to do each month to get ready to have a summer food at your
school. Yeah, that's a really good question. I would suggest that after-school programs first take a look at the Summer Meal Coalition's website just to get a very preliminary sense of what it looks like. the CDE's Nutrition Services Division will host trainings, but they won't be until somewhere between March and May. So I'm always going to say err on the side of caution and start looking at this in January, but know that an after-school program could participate in a training in as late as May to be set up for June, for a June program. So, but definitely I would encourage people to take a look at the Coalition website, you know, as early as possible, January. And then, you know, if we're connected with the After School Network website, we can let everybody know when those webinars will be coming up to kind of get take it the next step.
Mm-hmm. So this is Kathy, and it seems to me like when we got feedback on our webinar that we did, which we really went to Summer Food to look at what you did on your webinar to get some insights, so that was really helpful. But people also really want to hear from the practitioners, the people on the ground that are doing it, so that they can ask questions and get more information about, you know, maybe some of the nuts and bolts.
Absolutely, and to make it as practical and applicable to everybody's programs, and make sure those questions are answered before they become an afterthought of, you know, what we should have done differently. So,
right.
Yeah, we definitely would love feedback in advance.
And I think I remember when we did the first Challenge Dr. Food webinar, we had to be pretty clear that this was different from summer food. And I think that there is some confusion about how they might fit together and how they differ and how you might, you know, use summer food with child and adult care food. Or I don't know if on either a webinar or site there's kind of a clarification of that.
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up. Our next newsletter, which should be out in the next week or two, is actually going to have an article explaining how those that are doing child and adult care can then transition to summer food in the summer, since there are conditions around it, since at least for the after-school meals, they cannot be offered in conjunction with summer meal unless certain requirements are met. So I will definitely make sure that everyone has, you know, gets a hold of our newsletter so they can see that where it makes sense and, you know, where there are some differing rules.
Great.
About operating the programs.
Great. I think that'll be helpful. Thank you.
This is Shannon Young with the CDE. I have a question regarding signing up for the newsletter. Is it on the website?
You know, we do not yet. We're in the process of revamping the website, so we do not yet have a button to sign up online. But I can take down your contact information. Bruno, would it be possible to send out my contact information after the call so that people who want to sign up can just contact
your website
me?
Is already up on our website as a link.
Okay.
And I'll your contact information before the call ends.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
So how do people sign up? Because I have over 100 agencies that I work with throughout California that are Shaping Health as partners and education agencies, and there's three partners per agency, which includes two school partners and one community partner.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of these agencies are also network agencies, but they also operate different meal programs, which include the summer food service. So would they be able to sign up for the newsletter and the webinars through your website?
They will be able to sign up through the website, but not yet. So
okay.
Right now we are a bit of a Luddite because we have not yet made the website. We have not yet given it the capability to accept sign-ups through the website. So at this point I have to just get either your contact information and get those names through. We can coordinate to get those names, or if you want to email me the names of people that I should get in touch with.
So, Bruno, did you say that you would send Patrice's
contact information out to people on the call so that people can take advantage of this since the website won't work?
Yes. So we're doing it two ways. Her contact information will be on the notes for the committee, and they're also up on our website already.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Shannon, for that.
Uh-huh.
Great. Yeah, I think that it really behooves us to be linked, you know, the summer food outreach and child and dog care food and the network. So thanks for the report.
Well, thank you.
Do we have anyone here from Team California? Nancy?
Yes, this is Nancy.
Hey, great.
Hi. Thanks for including us. And I was just going to do, I assume I have just 5 minutes is what mm-hmm. I was going to spend on to talk a little bit about an update on Team California. I believe last time I was on, it was just kind of post-webinar, which was prior to our launch. And our launch took place on October 20th in San Jose. We had a great turnout, especially with quite a number of organizations and agencies across the state. We were thrilled we're there, and some big name stars and all with the superintendent to announce it, including kind of some folks like Randy Chastain and Bubba Paris and all. So from that, at that point, we were announcing the various focus areas or kind of areas where people can choose to participate at the local level, and this is one of the major points I want to make today is that now is the point where we're feeling like the really hard work is will be starting because we want to encourage school districts, organizations, agencies at the local level to take a look at the website and encourage them to choose one of the three focus areas. And those three focus areas, as a reminder, because I know we talked about it last time, one is physical activity, and the major areas within physical activity or the major goal is to increase physical activity, especially moderate to vigorous physical activity throughout the day, every day in schools and communities. One of the things that I know was in the after-school physical activity guidelines that we are really emphasizing in this particular goal is to our focus area is that if seat time is more than an hour, that kids are involved in a physical activity break between 5 and 10 minutes. So that is one big thing. And then also within that, we're promoting the active transport, so you know, walk and bike to and from school. So that's one area. The second area is incorporating fresh foods. And that is, at the first 18 months to 2 years, we're looking at that being particularly fresh fruits and vegetables. It can take the place, the stance of either including fresh fruits and vegetables in snacks, also during the school day as part salad bars and that type of thing, and incorporating them in the meal. So especially if you're doing the supper program, then making sure that's more fresh fruits and veggies. And then the third area is water. And what we're hoping folks will do if they choose that one is to really promote the aspect of making water the drink of choice. And the goal on that is to increase access to water and preferably making it more than just a sip. So we want to get beyond just drinking fountains, but making sure kids have either, you know, cups or water bottles enough to quench their thirst. Realizing that we don't want water to be bumping milk, that milk should be still consumed, especially at mealtimes, but that when kids are out playing and thirsty, especially if they're out doing physical activity in after-school programs, that water is available for them to be drinking. So those are the three major areas. We do have fact sheets on each of these on the website, Team California for Healthy Kids. You could just Google that. And there is a fourth fact sheet to help you with working with management, principals, and superintendents, policymakers, on health, academic achievement, and attendance. And then a few other things we've been involved with. We were recently involved just last week with the physical fitness test released down in San Diego on November 30th. The superintendent was there, went over the fitness gram results, and also at that point we're encouraging everyone to, again, participate in Team California for Healthy Kids by choosing at least one, if not two or three, of the focus areas to incorporate in their schools. And then I think the other main thing I just want to emphasize is that, as you know, there's going to be, after school is become a division here at Department of Education, and I know in the next several weeks the division director will be announced, and we have been talking a lot with the folks here in the executive office to make sure that as after-school programs, as they're working on after-school programs and then with the office, to make sure that Team California for Healthy Kids and the concepts behind it get incorporated within the programs in the division. So I say those are the main issues I wanted to emphasize today. And if you haven't taken a look already at the website, there's a lot of good tools and tips. There are in each of the areas there are some resources for you to use if you want to take those areas to your schools, or if, for instance, you're a regional lead or that type of thing, you can provide that to your local folks that you're working with.
Great. Hey, thanks so much. Any questions for Nancy? Okay. Renee, are you with us? Have you joined us?
I am here. Hey. And thank you, Arnell and Kathy, for the invitation to be able to present a little information here to the committee on the Supporting Student Success Initiative. And for those of you who are familiar with the statewide after-school networks, this isn't anything new. It's just that it was felt that after the 2010 election, this might be a good opportunity in terms of the political landscape in the state, in California, to apply for this funding opportunity. It's a grant that's made available through funding support from the Mott Foundation, and this is with technical assistance support and funding through three national organizations: National Conference of State Legislators, the National Governors Association, and the Council of Chief State School Officers, or CCSSO. So we partnered earlier this year with the Partnership for Children and Youth in writing the grant. And the purpose of I'll just use the abbreviation here of S3, the purpose of this funding is to really focus support for state-level policies in support of expanded learning opportunities. So that's kind of a broad interpretation, after-school programs, summer learning programs, extended day, and so on. As part of the grant funding requirements, S3 funding needed to focus on the establishment of a state leadership team, and there were several representatives that were mandated as part of the funding, and that composition of the team had to include the network lead or the director of the after-school network, a representative from the governor's office, from the State Education Agency or CDE, as well as a representative from the state legislature. You had to have at least three out of those four representatives to be able to apply. So indeed, our state team is comprised of course, the network executive director, a representative, a policy representative from CDE. We also have one of Senator Mark DeSalines' staffers participating on the leadership team. We have a representative from the Partnership for Children and Youth, as well as higher-level director from the California Department of Public Health. The types of state policy that S3 can take, there's some flexibility there. It can take the form of a bill, a legislative action. It could be a change to existing ed code, or it could be a policy that stems from a gubernatorial executive order, or it could just be some sort of legislative report or task force action. That's the type of shape or form that the state policy needs to take in terms of the requirements of the funding. So the focus then, as it evolved, of the S3 initiative was to explore some sort of policy action in support of summer learning programs. And as discussions ensued, and of course there was the Desalinate Bill at that time wending its way through the legislative process and eventually was signed by the governor, as kind of all of this was evolving, what also evolved in discussions was focusing not just generally on summer learning programs, but particularly or specifically about policies, rules, or regulations that would pertain to activity or wellness plans in those settings. So an example then of the types of policies that we might as a state team, as California team, might focus on would be looking at maybe capturing additional funding support for expanding and improving nutritional and physical activity programming and summer learning programs. It might take a shape or form of, revisions to school wellness plans that include summer nutrition and healthy behaviors, or targeting kind of just administrative rules and regulations for running summer learning programs and increasing access to summer meals, nutrition, and physical activity programs. And the thinking was to also build on what's currently being done, the existing work, the recommendations that are already coming out of discussions, for example, that Steve Fowler had convened a group earlier this year and gave rise to a report. So building on and connecting to these existing efforts that are already underway. As part of the funding, the state team also needed to participate in site visits. So in October, late October, the entire S3 team went back to Providence, Rhode Island, where we conducted a three-day site visit, and we will be convening again for another site visit in the summer of next year. Our next statewide leadership team is on January 19th, and one of the reasons to present this report in front of the committee today is not only to bring you, the information and up to date in terms of what was delivered at the network's leadership team meeting in September, but also to extend an invitation to a representative from the committee to serve on this leadership team so that we have not only the representation, of course, from the field, but also the committee can serve as a sounding board for the S3 leadership team in assisting with information dissemination, consensus development, and sharing field expertise. So as I said, our next meeting is on January 19th, and with that invitation, as well as just my own interest in hearing from the committee in terms of kind of your thoughts or questions, or any recommendations in preparation for the next time we convene the leadership team here next month, I would welcome.
Great. Thanks, Renee. Any questions or comments for Renee with the new S3 grant?
This is Kathy. I just want to say that we're just really excited that it's including a focus on nutrition and PA.
Yeah, it's a nice, I think the timing is good. I also wanted to mention that this is funded through January 2013, so we have some time to really turn our attention to it.
Right. And it's a good segue, too, from, the talk of, with Summer Food and Team California and, and the other things that are going on. I think that we should, as a state, be able to come up with a policy change, so hopefully that will happen.
So, Arnell and Kathy, I'm in hopes that the two of you will confer with the rest of the committee, and perhaps there's a name that you could forward to me in hopes of having you round out the leadership team and particularly attend this next meeting on January 19th.
Right. Yeah, we had talked about Kathy and I attending the first, the January 19th meeting, and then once we get more information, either being a conduit or, you know, getting a representation from the committee on the leadership team of the F3 grant. So.
Perfect. Thank you.
Right. Any other questions for Renee? The last thing on the updates is the community transformation grant. So we don't have a representative to talk about them, but I have a little bit of news in that just as a what's happening and why we wanted to bring it up is that California received community transformation grants, 10 federal community transformation grants from CDC, 6 capacity building, and 4 implementation grants. It's a total of about $22 million that has come into the state now to support these grants. And the emphasis of the community transformation grants is on healthy out eating, physical activity, decrease in hypertension, decrease in cholesterol, and also decrease in tobacco. And so these were just announced about a month or so ago, or 2 months ago, and so the different grantees are kind of formulating their work plans, and we will keep you abreast of information. But we wanted to bring it up because I think there's an opportunity for integrating after school into the work that's going to be happening throughout the state on community transformation. I don't have the entire list of grantee sites, but if you just Google community transformation grants in California, it'll come up. I know that Stanislaus and San Diego counties and LA and Fresno got grants, but I don't know the other ones. But also that something that might be of interest, and especially with our the problem we often have with getting a rural, districts involved in after school programming and food and nutrition is one of the big grants went to for rural counties and small counties. So the 42 rural, urban, and frontier counties in California with less than 500, 1,000 people. So there will be an emphasis on how to, work with counties to have a smaller population and rural population to increase the eating and activity and decrease hypertension and cholesterol. So just a little bit of an update, and I don't know if you have any further questions or to be continued, but any questions on it, community transformation grants? Great. So just wondering about any other hot topics or anything that wants to bring up, and then we have upcoming events in our next meeting on February 7th. And so, Shannon, are you still on the line and want to talk about the SHAPE training?
I am. I'm here.
Great.
Are you ready for me?
I am.
Okay. This is Shannon Young with California Department of Education, Nutrition Services Division, and I am our division's lead for our Shaping Health as Partners in Education California strategy. And it is a strategy that looks at local school wellness policies, the cafeteria, nutrition education, as well as partners within the school and the community to build healthy school environments. This is a strategy that has been going on in California for over just about 20 years now, and we have 120 partners this year of school districts, and they also influence a lot of after-school programs as we do ask them where are they providing services to help create healthy school environment, and several of them are working in the after-school environment. But what I'm sharing today is our SHAPE California sponsored trainings, which are on the nutrition competencies, which is a tool for sequential knowledge and skill-based training for all grade levels. So for each and every grade level, the knowledge and skills have been identified and then aligned with the health education content standards. And at these trainings, we are reviewing the guide, doing an in-depth look at it, and talking about
how, either as a teacher, stakeholder, or a food service employee, how you can link to the Healthy School using the guide. We also have 9 locations that we've been presenting throughout California. We have 5 left, and we did provide a copy of the training schedule in your list of handouts. We also are at the HBI Boost Conference. Heather Reed will be doing a short condensed version of it. It's also the opportunity to receive a hard copy of the guide versus the online version. That is all that I have on the SHAPE California trainings, but also we just launched our first SHAPE newsletter on our website for our Healthy School Environment agencies, and it is looking at initiatives, research, best practices, programs, and resources are all listed within the newsletter.
So this is Kathy, so maybe, Bruno, we can do a link to that from the network's Nutrition and PA page.
That would be wonderful, and it's on our NSD website under SHAPE.
Great. Any questions for Shannon? Oh, thank you for participating, Shannon, and sharing that information.
Thank you for inviting me.
Sure. So any topics for the next for February meeting anyone wants to bring up, anyone wants to include?
Actually, this is Catherine Hawksworth with California Project Lean, and
mm-hmm.
Just like to put a plug in for the Network for Healthy California statewide conference that's coming up March 5th through the 6th, 2012. And registration is free. They're still accepting poster presentation submissions through the end of this year, so December 31st. And just encourage everyone to register and attend.
Great. Thanks, Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
And Kathy Lewis, all set for tomorrow?
Yeah, we've got the Healthy Behaviors Conference. That's the rest of this week, starting Wednesday night and Thursday and Friday. And we're really excited about the workshops that are going to be offered and our partners that are participating. And Tony Yancey is going to be one of the keynoters. So we'll be talking about PA and nutrition, food security. And so we're really excited about that.
Great. Any other updates or upcoming meetings anyone wants to share? Or? So we'll have our next meeting will be February 7th, and the webinar is next Tuesday.
And I would just like people to share information about the webinar with anybody that you think would be interested.
Great. Okay, everybody. Well, thanks for participating, and we'll see you in a couple months. Have a good holiday, and feel free to contact Kathy or myself or Bruno if you want to add anything to the agenda for next time.
Okay.
Okay,
everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye.